be doing in our third segment of Better Together. Today, I would like to talk about being rich in good deeds. Being rich in good deeds. And many of you hear the word rich, and you're immediately like, okay, don't talk about that. You don't want to look at my bank account. I'm not rich. You know, I'm middle class, or I'm on the poor side. This morning, we're not necessarily going to be talking about money and or our bank accounts. So you're off the hook there. But I often wonder, when we go to step out and be used by God, what kind of thoughts come to our mind? Do we feel we're inadequate? I want to read something to you. If any of these thoughts come to your mind, I cannot make a significant difference in this world. Does that ever pop up? I refuse to believe that my actions can impact the lives of those around me. I know without a doubt that God has not given me anything to offer. Do you ever hear that voice? Ever think those thoughts? It is foolish to think that what I do with my time and resources matter. Now you're thinking like, okay, Kathy, this is a Word of Faith church. What in the world are you saying? I believe this morning that all this is true unless I allow God to reverse my thinking. Unless we allow God to reverse our thinking. Let's read that from the bottom up. We're going to say, my life is of little consequence is a lie. That is a lie. I possess something the world needs. You possess something the world needs. What I do with my time and resources, it does matter. It is foolish to think that God has not given me anything to offer. Okay, I'm talking to you guys. Some amens, some amens out there. Now, you're like, well, this is repetitive. This is silly. Well, let me just tell you, there's individuals, and even myself, when I go to step out to be used by God, is this really me? This is really God? I don't know. Maybe I just made this up. So we need to hear this morning. I know without a doubt that my actions can impact the lives of those around me. And then I refuse to believe that I cannot make a significant difference in this world. I believe that each and every single one of us were born for such a time as this. You are in your family on purpose, with a purpose. You're in your job, not necessarily because of your education, but that probably helped, but because God has placed you there. You're even in your neighborhood, hello, making a significant difference, because God has placed you there. It's not by coincidence. Sometimes even our students placed in school, some of the friendships that we have, it's not, you know, by happenstance. It's because of divine order, we're carriers of God. So when we talk about being rich in good deeds, we are called to make a difference. We are called to make a difference. In fact, the definition of rich, it means to have more than you need. Have more than you need. Do you know that we are the only nation, United States, that has storage facilities? Storage facilities. In fact, there's short-term storage. There's long-term storage. There's climate-controlled storage. And in fact, in Orlando, there's actually a store called the Container Store. Not only do we want to store our stuff, but we want it properly organized in containers. We have more than enough. We might not think we have more than enough, but we have more than enough. Now, that's talking about natural belongings, natural goods. You know, we're going to save something that was passed down as a family heirloom or you know, my kids are going to fit this next year. I'm guilty of that when my kids were little. But I want to talk more about, what about the giftings? What about the things that Christ has stored up on the inside of us that can impact another person? Do I keep kindness in a container on a shelf? Do I keep love and sharing what Jesus has done in my own life on a container in the garage? Or do I take opportunities to do good deeds? Because sometimes we can get so caught up in our own storage and what's going on in our own life and what's going on that we forget that we're here to be a light. And in fact, in 1 Timothy, if you have your Bible, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. We're going to look at verses 17 through 19. Paul is talking to Timothy here, and he is navigating Timothy and telling him, you need to help people see that their lives are much more than just living day to day. Their lives are so blessed that I'm going to tell you how to live life to the fullest. And it says here, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant. We're not supposed to just brag about what we have. And we're not also supposed to feel guilty for what we have. We're blessed to live in the United States. We're blessed to have our needs met, to have a roof over our head, to have God supply our needs. And it goes on to say, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is uncertain, but to put their hope in God. Any people have hope in God? Put our hope in God, who richly provides us with everything to our enjoyment. Now, this is what I love. Command them. Not like, okay, you're good. You can do this if you want to, but it says command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. Anybody remember having a little two-year-old? What'd you say? No, you have to share that. Sometimes I have to say that to myself. You need to share this. Share the good news. And in this way, they will lay up treasures for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age so that they may take hold of life that is truly life. So what are we breaking down here? We need to recognize that we can either just live and exist, or we can live life to the fullest. Living life for the fullest is doing good deeds. What is doing good deeds? Good deeds is getting out of our own comfort zone and serving other people. I want to ask a question this morning. Not why, but what? What for? Why are we blessed? Not just why, but what? What for are we blessed? That's not proper English. But the truth is, we are blessed to be Jesus' hands and feet to our community, to be God's love to our community. Life is not just existing, but it is living. It's how we handle our blessings. In fact, look up at this video and you're going to see how somebody's handling and stewarding the things that God has given them.
Our whole slogan is hoping to make someone's day better than the day before. And I think a shower really does that for people. And I get about 27 showers. As a kid, we had a lot of stuff. We were very fortunate. When I got older, I realized that having all these things, a house, a bed, a car, a job, it's all great. But for me, giving back, that's my big fancy car. What makes me feel good is by helping the community. Started getting hotter. I asked the guys and the ladies, if you could have anything, what would you want right now? And they all said a shower. I was actually knocking on business doors asking if I could borrow water until eventually we were generously gifted some money to buy a water meter.
The folks would kind of gather around and it's like, are you charging anything? You know, they'd be a little bit, you know, like, so you guys are just cool enough and we can take a shower. And at that time, Jason had clothes in his SUV. And I would say he was like their stylist. Like they would take a shower and then he's like, oh, wait, man, I got the great jeans for you.
Murray lives across the street, right there on that front porch of that abandoned home. Every time that we come out, he's always dancing and smiling. We got him a nice shave. Got him some new shoes that he was needing. I think he showered earlier, so he'll be back out dancing. Actually, there he is right there, right behind me as we speak. The music's a really big part of what we do. Kind of makes them, I think, forget about situations because they're having a great time. They're getting food, they're dancing. Anybody over here could be in a situation that you would never know about.
All people deserve to be treated with dignity, no matter who they are.
I can't wait for Saturday.
Wow. I love that at the end, yes. At the end it says, Jason wasn't trying to solve homelessness. He was just trying to show people that they are loved. And that's what we are called to do when it's good deeds. We are to show that others are loved. But loved much greater than just what we have, but beyond us, with the love of Christ. So I got to ask myself this morning, what do I do with my time, my talent, and my treasure? How can I look at what God is doing in my life and allow that to be a blessing to other people? I have to do a self-evaluation. How rich am I in good deeds? Am I wealthy in good deeds? Am I middle class, or am I at the poverty level where I just keep to myself because this is my comfort zone? I have to stretch myself. The Word of God says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, I love this, I love this, I love this. We are not saved by good works, but we are saved for good works. We don't do stuff so for our salvation. We know what Jesus did at the cross, but we can't forget when we have our salvation, we are saved for. What is the for? The for is to do unto others. We are saved for good works. And I love at the end of that passage, it says, for God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Now listen to this last part of the sentence, which God prepared in advance for us to do. You know what? I like to look at that phrase and say, God has a divine to-do list for you, a divine to-do list for me. That means God has a specific fingerprint or a thumbprint of who you are and where you are in your life today to bless other people. Some people love gardening. Maybe you're the type of person, we're glad to have Karen back, that dreams about fertilizer and dreams about we're in this season and we're going to plant these kind of plants. And I just can't wait to get up and weed the garden. That's not me. I don't have a green thumb. But you know what? Someone like that, their divine to-do list, they might see an elderly person in their neighborhood and their garden's overgrown. And you're going to go and you're going to knock on her door and say, can I do this for you? Because Jesus loves you. He's changed my life. I would love to do this for you. Or maybe that's not you. Maybe that's not your divine to-do list. Maybe you're the type of person that really enjoys preparing meals. And you hear of a young family in your community, and they just had their fourth baby. They're busy, and you decide that you're going to bring them a meal. Now, maybe the other neighbor just went to the drive-thru at Polo Tropical and just picked up some stuff and just dropped it off. But you're the type of person, this is your divine to-do list. I'm going to prepare lasagna, and I think I'll get some hot garlic bread with a salad on the side. And you know what? Oh, I'm going to make this dessert, and I'm going to get matching napkins. Why? You find joy in serving others in that way. So I want to ask you this morning, where is your joy? And are you using that? Are you using that to serve others? We're talking about living life to the fullest, a divine to-do list, living in that moment to do good deeds for others. There's joy in serving others. I know for me, I was at the gas station a couple weeks ago, and there was a young mom, and she had like a 10-year-old in the front seat and maybe a couple younger kids in the back seat, and massive, it just seemed like hysteria. The 10-year-old was yelling, and she was like, "I'm just trying to find my wallet." And I went over and I said, "Hey, can I buy you your gas?" And she looked at me like, "What's going on here? Okay, what do you want? Get away, back up." But isn't that sad? That's what the world has come to. And I believe that is a ploy of the enemy to strike up so much fear that you can't go and do a good deed for somebody. Because the enemy wants to divide and conquer. If he can get the bubble of the church living in its own bubble, its own community, no, you're a sinner. And instead of having our hands open wide, I can help you. There's a pointing finger. You got to do this and this and this and this right. So I went ahead and said, and she's like, "Really? Seriously?" I said, I just want to bless you. God loves you. Jesus loves you. Paid for that. And I tell you what, it made me feel good. I was like, man, I was able to help somebody doing a good deed. So I'm going to go over real quick four ways. Why is it important for us to do good deeds? Number one, my good deeds are pointers to God and not myself. When we do unto others, it's not to pat ourselves on the back. It's not to feel good about ourselves, but it's to point others to God. And it says in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, "You are the light of the world." We have to be reminded of that. A town built on a hill that cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it underneath a bowl. Now, it's okay if you want to be a Secret Service a Christian and want to be all camouflage. Well, I'm a believer, but I don't put it in people's face. Well, we're not talking about putting it in people's face, but we're talking about let your light shine. Because if we're camouflage, if we're hidden, if we're Secret Service, we don't do good for others. And the Bible specifically says here, in the same way, let your light so shine before others that they may see your good deeds. It seems like there is a path or a string in the Word of God about doing good deeds for others. And it goes on to say that they may see your good deeds and glorify the Father in heaven. When we do acts of kindness, serving one another, It's pointing to Christ, and that's what it's all about. Secondly, my good deeds are samples of Jesus Christ. Anybody like to go to Sam's around lunchtime? I like to call them the sample engineers. Some of you know they have bacon wrapped scallops and chips with all kinds of like nice toppings. And they're even doing it at Publix now, at Target. Don't get me started about the good samples. But what do those engineers say? They're giving you a taste. Why? Because they want you to buy. So you're tasting it, so then they can tell you, hey, go down this aisle, about the third door in the freezer section. You can buy this yourself, and you can bring it home. Hello? That's what we are to our community. We are samplers to the community. You want to taste a little bit of goodness? Taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that He's freedom. Taste and see that He's hope. Taste and see that He's forgiveness. But if we keep it to ourselves, we keep that sample to ourselves, they can't taste and see. So we, my good deeds are samples of Jesus Christ. We see a need, we meet a need. As a church, we want to go out into the community. In Acts chapter 38, chapter 10, verse 38. Sorry, I had to swallow there. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. Okay, if you're getting intimidated, what, you want me to be a sample? You want me to point to Jesus? I'm an introvert. It's easy for you. No, it's by the power of Jesus Christ. When we plug Jesus here, was all God and all human. He had to plug in somewhere. And then in that power, He went about doing good and healing all who were under the power of the enemy because God was in him. It's God in you that gives you the ability to do good. It's by the leading of the Holy Spirit, hearing that voice in your workplace. You know what? Why don't you just write a little card to your coworker? Tell them how much you appreciate them. Well, you know what? Tell your boss he's a good boss today. Well, you know, He's not a good boss. Well, you know what? Maybe you need to share kindness. Maybe I'm talking about getting out of the box, being not like everyone else. Do you know there's a scripture in the Word of God? And my point number three is, my deeds will go the extra mile to show God's love, to show others God's love. Number three, my deeds will go the extra mile to show God's love. Show others God's love. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 41, I used to come across this passage and what does it mean? I just don't understand. But I actually looked. It says, if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. My personality is like, you're going to force me? No, I'm not even going to go the first mile. Okay. But what this is saying is in that time, the Roman soldiers could say to anybody in their community, you know what, pick up this stuff and carry it for me for a mile. That would be 1,000 steps. And they could force them. They were entitled. They had to do that as a citizen there. But Jesus was saying, you know what, everybody has to do that. Everybody has to go to the 1 mile. You know what? Christ in you, because I'm on the inside of you, because I'm love everlasting, because I'm kindness, because I'm you fill in the blank, what your neighbor needs, you're going to go 2 miles. You're going to go, the 10,000 steps. You're going to give more. I want to ask myself this morning, do I give more? Do I go the extra mile? Do I point others back to Jesus? Everyone can go the first mile, but we as believers can go the second mile to show others love. In fact, I saw something online the other day. There was a lady in the drive-thru at McDonald's, and I don't know, I guess she got kind of distracted and was doing some other things, and the person behind her was like honking the horn, go, 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 you know, and they were like behind them, and oh my gosh. So she went up to the window and she said, you know what? She is so angry behind me. I'm going to bless her. I would like to pay for her meal. And the worker was like, why would you do that? She's, you know, being so irritating and impatient and impossible. And she says, I can decide today to react, turn around and be like, what are you doing? Or I can respond. And I'm going to respond with the love of God. I'd like to pay for their meal. That's what I'm talking about, going the extra mile. When we don't feel like it. When it's swimming up the stream. When everyone else is angry and upset. How do we respond? What is our divine to-do list? What are you good at that nobody else in your community or where you live or where you work is good out? How can you share that with others? And number four, my good deeds will glorify God through his church. So what are we going to do? We're going to be in good deeds. We're going to serve one another. And we're going to be a sample to others. And then we're going to go the extra mile. And lastly, we're going to bring people to the church. Can I just tell you this morning, I'm not talking about a building. Of course, Pastor John and myself would love to see the church grow. But I'm talking about bringing them to a relationship with Jesus Christ. There's nothing greater than seeing or praying with somebody to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You know, this morning, if we had a stethoscope and we could put it on the heart of God, do you know what we would hear? We would hear people. People. The hurting. The lost. The addict. The prostitute. What? Why? Because that's who our Savior and Lord died for. That's, you know, the doors of this community, they're open. They're so open in prayer. We're praying for this community. But I often wonder if God is looking down and saying, oh, I wish my people would hear my voice. I need you to go down this street. I need you to knock on this door and tell them that I love them. I need you to be in the grocery store and go to this third aisle. And there's going to be a person there. And you need to tell them that they're forgiven. That I love them. What? Is God that personal, Kathy? Yes, he's personal. We are called to hear his voice. It's more than just doing to do a good deed, to have a treasure laid up in heaven. Yes, that's part of the promise, but it's being used by God. In fact, in Acts chapter 4, verse 32 through 35, and it says, all believers were in one heart and one mind. That's what we desire here at Family Worship Center. No one claimed that any of their possessions were their own. But they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God's grace was powerfully at work in them. Can I just tell you, it's starting with the little. It's starting with bringing a meal to the neighbor. Well, that's not really that big. It's not spectacular. It's starting with even saying hello to a neighbor. We don't even do that anymore. Starting with the little, and God will turn it into much. And then it says, at work in them, there were no needy persons among them. From time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put them at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anybody who had a need. So this is making reference to money, but what I want to really bring to the forefront this morning is being rich in good deeds. You have more on the inside of you than you give yourself credit for. You have influence more than you give yourself credit for. Where can we start? We could start with Serve Day. We could start getting out of our box. We can come together as a community, as a church, and show the love of God to our community. If you haven't had a chance to sign up yet, please do. In fact, I want to. Our worship team's going to come forward in close, and I just want to share just a couple FWC heroes. That's what we like to call them. Individuals that are stepping out of the box and being used by God. One individual that comes to mind was there's a church member that just felt in their heart, their divine to-do list. They just had a connection with moms in the NICU. And so they took that. They just didn't go, oh, yeah, well, that's great. But they took that to the next step. They started raising funds and made care packages to bring into the NICU and made plans and were able to pray with the moms, lay hands on the baby. That's just one of us. That's not something that was orchestrated from a pulpit, from a stage, but that's one of us going out and saying, what is my divine to-do list? What am I good at? And they're in the NICU laying hands on babies and praying for the parents. Another individual one night he said he was eating dinner and they had lots of leftovers. And he just turned and said to his wife, "Let's not pack those up and put them in the fridge. I'm going to take these meals and I'm going to go drive down to Daytona and I'm going to find somebody that needs a hot meal." He said it wasn't like pre-planned. It wasn't like this big orchestrated thing. But God, what you've given me, I'm going to give to others. And it's been about 8 months now. And this has developed into like a ministry. He didn't call the church, didn't say, "Well, we need this and this and this." But he's developed his own plan to minister to the homeless and bring food. He's got cooks and he's got financial aid. That's one of us. Doing the divine to-do list. What are you passionate about? What really bothers you? When you see something on the news, what stands out? And what can you do about it? It's one thing to just sit and talk about it. It's another thing to do about it, to do something about it, to be rich in good deeds. We get Publix bread delivered here at Family Worship Center every Thursday, and about 20 families, there's an individual that takes that bread out of time out of their life. It's not convenient to be rich in good deeds, but they stretch themselves. They go deliver that bread to about 20 families in need. That's being Jesus' hand, being his feet. So I want to, in my own self, ask myself, am I rich in good deeds? And what can I do about it if I'm not? It's a simple, simple, just flip of the switch. Okay, I'll be aware. Okay, I'll be your hand. I'll be your